Proverbs chapter 2, verse 8 reads this way. It says, "He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you, Lord, again for the privilege of gathering together in your house as your people. We ask your blessing on your word and, Lord, on the service tonight. Pray, Lord, that you would fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit, guide our minds, and, Lord, that we might hear from you and that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and we'll give you the praise. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is God Preserves the Way of His Saints. God preserves the way of his saints. Now, when you think of a preservative, it's something that is used to keep things from spoiling, right? When you think of a preservative. And sometimes not everything goes as planned or as we think it should go. You ever have a day like that? Things just don't go the way we would like them to go. But everything does go the way God knows it's going to go, and he is in control of those things. Not everything is a good thing, really, in the sense of bad things being done to people and just different things that can happen in life. But yet God still is aware of all of those things. Sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes it's easier to focus on the problem or the situation and lose sight that God is there. Is that true? It can happen. We can lose sight that God is there. And so what we need sometimes to do is to have a calibration of our faith, making sure everything is where it's supposed to be. And if things need to be adjusted, we want the Lord to make those adjustments. I think of the time when David was brought into Saul's house, and Saul didn't like him. Saul did not like him, and the Bible tells us why, because he saw that the Lord was with him. And that bothered King Saul. In fact, one time he was pursuing David, and the prophets were there, and they were prophesying, and King Saul was after him, and he started prophesying. King Saul did, and he took off his clothes, and they normally had what was called a linen ephod or linen clothing underneath. And he got caught up in what God was doing. And he went away, and then he was more fearful of David. There he was out there to get him. There he was to try to cause a problem for David, by the way, who was a man after God's own heart. And he got caught up in what God was doing with David, for David. And imagine that thought. Here he is. He's somehow understanding, King Saul is, first of all, he doesn't like King David. And the reason for that is because God was with him. Now remember, if we go back to the place where God had told King Saul what to do concerning the Amalekites, he didn't do that. And that's where he lost the kingdom. It was many years later after that, that before the kingdom went over to King David. But God is very patient and long-suffering. And you've heard, you know, God's judgment grinds slow, but it grinds fine, right? I mean, it really does a thorough job. But may God do that work in our own hearts and our own minds, that we might know that he is in control. Now, David said, "Listen, your dad's after me." Jonathan said, No. Now I'm paraphrasing here. That's not the case. No, he's after me." And he ran away a couple times out of his sight. And Saul wanted to kill David. And I don't know if Jonathan just wasn't there, missed it or what have you, but then they came up with this plan and said, "Listen," Jonathan said, what do you want me to do to prove to you? What do you want me to do?" He said, "Well, listen, I'm not going to show up at the king's table tonight. And if he asks where I'm at, you tell him that I had to go to my home. There was a sacrifice there, and see how he responds to all of that." And he says, "Now, what are you going to do if he's after me, right? And he told him about that little thing with the boy. He's going to shoot the arrows in the air, and if the arrows are beyond, then you know that, yeah, he is after you." Well, to make the whole thing short right here, the whole story, that's what happened. And then Jonathan said to David, he said, "Listen, just remember me I've got a covenant with you, and remember my household. When God sets you up to be king, Jonathan knew that. When God sets you up, remember me and remember my family, right? Because normally they were done away with. And the Bible says he repeated that twice to encourage David. So David's in this place of, can we call it confusion? I mean, God called him to be the next king. Saul's on the throne, and he's after him, and he thinks his days are numbered. Ever felt like that? Sometimes. And yet God holds us in his hands. That's sometimes a difficult place to be in when you're in the middle of a trial or a difficulty, to realize that God still holds us in his hands. And we can rest in that. Do we rest in that all the time? Not all the time. But we can rest. God has to bring us to understanding that truth. Let's look at a couple of things tonight in our text. And really what we're looking at is two thoughts here. How God begins his preserving work in his saints or believers. And the second thought is what God's preserving work brings to his saints or believers. So these are the things that God wants to do for us as believers. I think of Peter, I think of the other disciples who didn't grasp everything right away. It's a process. It's a process that God brings and works. So let's look at a couple of things. When we consider this, God responds to our faith in him. God does not infiltrate our life, but he will be invited. So don't just expect God just to step in and, well, why didn't this happen? And maybe, where was God in this? Well, did you invite God in on your life that day, right? That's important. Don't raise your hand, but isn't it easy to get so caught up in everything that we have to do and not stop to say, I'm not saying you didn't have a devotion. I'm not saying you didn't pray, but we forget to say, God, I want you to be in control. There's a difference. It's good to hear the word of God. That's where faith comes from. But Lord, I want you involved in my life. Okay, so let's look at this. First of all, again, how God begins his preserving work in the saints. Well, he wants to be invited. Look at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt, what? Receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. If God's commandments are with you, where are the commandments of God? Well, they're with you, aren't they? That means you bring them into your life. That doesn't mean they're just in your mind. That means that that's something that you're going to allow to guide your life. That's something that you want to guide your life. Now, does that always happen? Is that always the case that takes place? No. And then the devil will jump in there and say, well, you're not much of a Christian, right? Well, I'm not much of a Christian. It's Christ in me that makes me a Christian. It's the righteousness of God that gives him the honor and the glory that's in me. I don't always allow it to come forth, but the error is not on God's part. The error is on my part, because I'm not believing at that particular time of distress or contention or a problem, right? And that can flare up at any time. So he says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, that's the first place we have to go. And that is receiving the word of God. In other words, wanting the word of God. And then he says, and hide my commandments with thee. So this is how God begins his preserving work in his saints. It's through the word of God. The word of God has to be there. And we have to want the word of God to be our guide. That's a big difference. Can you memorize a verse and still not really have the word of God guiding your life? You can memorize verses. You can know them verbatim, but you're not really allowing them. You're not saying, yes, that's going to be my guide. That's what it means to have the commandments of God with us. They guide us. And then number two, notice what he says here. So that ye may incline thine ear. This is the second part of the process. And that is an ear that's inclined. You remember, how many of you remember E.F. Hutton commercials? You remember them? I just want to make sure. Raise your hand up real high if you ever heard an E.F. Hutton commercial, because I'm feeling old here. Okay, all right, ready? The commercials used to go, they'd be out in a big area of a whole bunch of people, and there'd be a lot of commotion and clamoring going on, and an E.F. Hutton representative would be saying, or somebody would be saying, E.F. Hutton says, and then all of a sudden the whole crowd would just get quiet and go. They were inclining their ear. They wanted to hear what was being said, because he was an investment firm, wasn't it? It was to help you invest and making money and making a return. And so the implication was, if you really want to make money, you'll listen to E.F. Hutton. Well, listen, if you really want to understand the Word of God, we'll incline our ear to the Word of God. And that's something that God says, if you want to do that, this is the process unto wisdom, he says, and apply thine heart to understanding. So you have an inclined ear and then a heart that's applied. Work is a funny thing when you work with coworkers, isn't it? Why is everybody laughing? You ever have those interesting coworkers? I don't mean that in a positive way either. But anyway, I remember working for a trenching company. We were putting in cable in Manchester. Is it Manchester? Out there in towards St. Louis. It was a new area. And they were building these big homes back in the 90s, early 90s. And we had to trench in these. Sometimes they couldn't get a trencher in there, so you hand dug with a spade. They call them a sharpshooter. And you had to hit it. I mean, you had to toughen up your hand because you'd hit the hard rock and you had to mash that rock through because it had to be so deep. And they were sticklers about that, so you made sure it got so deep. And there was this one fella, and he was just parked on his shovel like that. And I'm talking, it was hot. It was like in the upper 90s, heat index factor over 100. And I tell you what, I wasn't happy with him. Just to let you know, I was not happy with him. I mean, I am soaking wet, and he's just sitting there. And I called him by name, and I said, you think you might want to help us do some work over here, you know? And he was a young guy, you know, probably about early 20s or so. And I was late 20s, maybe 30 at the time. Anyway, he said, nope. I make just as much working as I do sitting over here. Thank you. Take that shovel and throw it at him, right? Anyway, that was his choice, wasn't it? That was his choice. Boy, that bothered me, I want you to know. But I didn't say another word to him. And he didn't last long. He was gone. They fired him. And rightly so. So there's an inclination to incline one's ear, and then there's one that's kind of just parked there. You see the difference? To make an effort is one thing, but to sit there and just think it's going to happen by itself, I promise you, there was no trench going to be dug under that fellow's feet, right? Not just sitting there. And so God is wanting us really to understand that this is the process. First of all, we need to receive the Word of God. We have to be an open avenue for that. And then we also want to have an inclined ear. And we want to have to have a desire to be led by what God's saying. You know, hey, listen, this is what you're supposed to do. We're going to dig a trench right here. Okay, got it. Hear ya. And the boss walks away and he just stays there. And what good is that? Well, there's no trench going to be dug. Well, guess what? There's no receiving of the Word of God going to take place. And there's no hiding the Word of God because we're not moving towards the Lord. We're not moving in that direction. And so what's going to happen is our world's going to come. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. And we're going to act like we don't have God. And that happens. Peter walked with the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. How popular do you think Peter was when he said, Lord, though all these forsake you, I won't. How popular do you think? Do you think they were offended a little bit? Maybe a little bit angry with him? But wait, they weren't in the right spot either. Because they were all willing to say the same, yeah, you know, we'll go with you. Well, none of them really went, did they? And Peter, of all of them, making that big proclamation, denied the Lord. And then finally went out and wept bitterly. What was the problem there? He was full of himself. Do you see that when we're filled with ourselves, we're not going to get anywhere. God, it's not a mystery. It's not a complicated equation here. God says, if you'll receive my word, if you'll hide my words, that means you want them to work for you. And God's not expecting perfection on our part. He's not saying, now you make sure that you keep this. No, it's our desire. That's all it has to be, is a desire. God, I want to live by your word. Lord, I can't do it. Isn't that the truth? Lord, I don't have the strength, right? Church, I don't have the strength. So who's my strength? Who's supposed to be my strength? The Lord, right? God. Absolutely. Okay, so notice this. So he says it's an inclined ear. It's an applied heart to understanding. And then look at verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. So what's that? That's a cry for understanding. Listen, this is serious business with God. If it's going to happen, you can sit in church and not get anywhere fast in your relationship with the Lord. The worst thing we can do is look to what other people are doing. Is that what they teach runners to do when they're running in the Olympics? Make sure you look at everybody else. Is that what they tell you to do? Listen, that's why and they have headbands with side view mirrors so they can look behind them, right? Is that what they have? Or they're constantly looking over their shoulder and running this way. Is that how you see the Olympics run? No. What do they tell them to do? Look at the mark. And by the way, look past it. That's why Paul said, listen, I press toward the mark. I don't run like I've attained. I want to go past what God has given me thus far. I want to go beyond. I want to experience more of God. Do you think God will bless that desire? It's a desire first. Having desire, a man intermeddling with all wisdom, that's where it takes place. Having desire. And so, verse 4, notice this. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. What does that mean? You believe there's treasure. And you're going. So, I told you about this video I watched of some guy. What do you call it when you're looking for gold? I know it's prospecting, but when you're panning for, he was in this little creek panning for gold. So I want you to know there's gold in these Missouri rivers. So that means tomorrow you're going to go out and buy your mining gear and go out and get it, right? No, because you know you're probably not going to find it. And if you do, it's going to be a little next to nothing. But what if somebody told you a location where there was a lot of gold that would be worth your while? Maybe $1 million worth of gold that you could find in a matter of 2 days. There's no doubt about it. It's there. I mean, not a fictional thing. You'd want to go, wouldn't you? I would think so. Now, wait a minute. More sure than the gold that there is in the earth somewhere is the knowledge found in the Word of God. That brings peace, that brings stability to life. It's there. And you know why you're shaking your heads up and down and agreeing with that? Because you've discovered it and tasted it for yourself already. God has been there for you at different times, at different places. You know it's there. You know it's there. Because you know God's real. You don't believe. You don't have faith in an invisible God. You have faith in a God who has substantiated that faith time and time again. The lost world doesn't understand it, but you've been given a faith that you've experienced and you've seen the hand of God and you've seen Him work in your life to the point to where you say, I know that's the Lord. Now the world doesn't understand that. They think that we believe in a God that does not exist. That's their opinion. But listen, do you know that in the land of the blind, the person with one eye is king? Because they can see, can't they? And they can tell everything. And so the world may be blind, and we were blind. And that makes it, and we understand that, but now we can see what we could not see before. We've been given sight. We know by experience what it's like to not have spiritual sight. And we also know what it's like for God to give us light and sight and understanding and wisdom and truth. Now, I want you to know that things can come into your life and maybe already have come into your life that could make you quit. That can make you quit. You remember the Lord when he said to the disciples, unless you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, right? You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then they all got offended and left. And he turned to the 12 and said, will ye also go away? What did Peter say to them? I think it was Peter. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. I am convinced that you are still here because you believe that. Because God has made that real to you in your own personal life. And just as he's made that real, he wants to make more things real to us. And sometimes we have different battles. Listen, look at it's all through the scriptures. David ran over to the Philistines because of Saul. He thought he was done for. And yet, listen, God gave him a promise that he was going to be the next king. Let me ask you a question. Did God fulfill that promise? Did he fulfill it? How do you think David felt when he fulfilled it? You've never let me down. I thought you might have, but you never let me down. I felt like you may have. I couldn't understand, you know, you pointed me to be the next king. And I waited on you, and boy, oh boy, you are faithful. He could have killed King Saul twice, three times. But he would not put his hand against the Lord's anointed. You know why? Because he had the word of God. He hid the commandments of God with him. He wanted to walk in those ways. Do you see the difference? If he was not hiding the commandments, my goodness, all his men, he didn't even have to lift a finger. Zechariah, I think that was his name anyway, one of the mighty men, said, let me just smite him once. That's all it will take. What do I have to do with you, ye sons of Zechariah? I think was the verse. He said, I can't do that. You know why? Because he had the commandments of God with him. You see the difference? And so we need to search for it as for hid treasure. Very quickly, I'm just going to give you these because we're out of time, but I want you to see this. What is God's preserving work? What God's preserving work brings to his saints or to his believers? Look at verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. That's a personal reverence with God. And find the knowledge of God. And verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So knowledge and understanding, this is what it brings to us as saints. Look at verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom. When you've got something laid up, you've got it laid up for a rainy day, amen? To get you through the storm, to get you through a hard time, through a difficulty. That's the rainy day, right? When you have something stored up, when you say, I've got it saved up for a rainy day, it's for when the bottom may fall out, I'll be all right. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. This is God doing it. He is a buckler. Who's the he? He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths. God keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. God is doing that. Did you see that? And he brings us to the place of rest when we look to him. So tonight, God preserves the way of his saints. Why does God remind us of that? He knows our weaknesses. He knows we need him. And you know, the crazy thing is sometimes we can get caught up and forget about him when we need him and not see him at that moment. And God knows that too. And why God reminds us, so when we get caught up in a situation, we can stop and say, wait a minute, I'm in God's hands. He knows what's going on in my life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the encouragement that it brings. We ask your blessings on the rest of the time together as we break off for prayer. May you be honored and glorified in drawing our hearts closer to you and to one another. We'll give you all the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.